wonderful to see everybody out, that everybody is doing well. It's always encouraging as we have this opportunity to come together and study. It's always wonderful to be with our brothers and sisters in Christ. So we'll take a moment aside, just real quick, to say Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers that are here this morning. As I always typically say, it's not necessarily a holiday that is binding in the scriptures, but it is a lot of things that we can see throughout the Word of God that we need to honor our mothers. So Happy Mother's Day. And so when it comes to holidays, I'm back and forth on whether or not I like presenting lessons that go along with the holiday, because it kind of gives focus to something. And I often don't like holidays on Sunday, because then it's just too much to focus on something else. But either way, I decided to go ahead and talk about mothers this morning. So we see the Word of God talk about and have many things that we can point out scripturally about mothers, and we'll talk about mothers and their children. And so let us open up our Bibles and see what the Word of God has to say within it about mothers. Looking at a couple of examples maybe, and then looking at the Word of God and seeing how mothers should be as they continue to raise their children, as they have that relationship with their children, and to do it as a godly mother, a holy mother, and doing it the way God has intended it. And these are points that we can bring out and thinking of, yeah, I can see that my mother loved me because she's done these things for me, and seeing how we should be living our lives. So start off with, as we point out that, mother to their children and things that they do, the sacrifices that they make, the love that they have. One example that we can look at right away is looking at Moses and his mother in Exodus chapter 2. As we look into Exodus, we know that Pharaoh looked at the land and just saw how much Israel was growing and saying, what if we have enemies come in and these Israelites, or these Hebrews come up into the point and decide that they're going to join them, we'll be outnumbered within ourselves. And so they decided to try to slow down how much they grew by killing the children, killing the infants, the babies, the males. And in doing so, we read here in Exodus 2 about how Moses' mother reacted to this. It says that a man of the house of Levi went and took a wife, a daughter of the Levi. And so the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a beautiful child, she said to him 3 months, or she hid him 3 months. And when he could no longer hide him, she could no longer hide him. She took an ark, brushers, for him, daubed it with asphalt and pitch, put the child in it, and laid it in the reeds by the river bank. And so here, even the risk that she's taking here in trying to build a basket there, put Moses in there, and send him down a river. You know, you're not sure on how if he'll even survive. If it topples over, if water somehow gets in it, and the risk that she takes here, but it's what she had to do. She was willing to hide her child and put her life at risk. And then she puts him and sends him off, and willing to allow the other people to find him, that they might show him mercy, that they might save him. And so she was willing to take that risk, willing to make the tough decisions, willing to make the sacrifice to save this child's life. And again, as we look at this example, much like when we talk about God's love for us, and that God loved us before we existed, God loved us and sent his son down to die for you before you ever existed. He's made that opportunity for your salvation, your forgiveness of sins, your home in heaven. And he made that all before you ever did anything for him. Moses is an infant here. Moses has done nothing for his mother. Moses has simply brought her joy, hope, gave her that feeling of love between a mother and a child. But Moses himself has actually done nothing. But yet she has that much love for him. And a mother's love goes that far. A mother's love for their children. In Proverbs 31, we'll be bringing out a few points here in Proverbs 31, if you want to turn along there. But I didn't want to go forth and read the whole chapter, though I'm going to refer to the whole chapter throughout the lesson. But I wanted to pinpoint a couple points that talk about her and what she does for the household, which would include the children and the children there, not just her as a wife. So Proverbs 31, verse 15, as we talk about the virtuous woman here, it says, she also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household. The mother, can think about how much our mothers have done for us. And here I can say, my wife was gone until Friday night, and she came home, what'd you guys eat while I was gone? Guess what? I didn't make a whole lot of home-cooked meals. Mom was gone. The boys had germs. And we had some pizza. We had this and ate out. I probably ate out too much. But the mother provides for the children. Again, not saying that the men cannot cook. I try to do good when she's gone sometimes, but this time I did not. And so we see how much mothers love. And here it's not just providing food and just looking through the pantry and, oh, this is what I can run together. She plots it out. She gets up early in the morning. She looks and sees what is needed, and she goes and gets it for them. You know, again, mom's the one that usually goes to the grocery store, says this is what we need. She looks in the pantry not to just find the food for that day, but to say, what are we out of? What do we need? What do I got to go get? And so mother is providing for the household. Staying here in Proverbs 31 and verse 21. Proverbs 31 and verse 21 here brings out, she is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. Here again, she's not afraid that her children are going to get cold or anyone in their house is going to get cold, because she makes sure that they have clothes. She clothes them. She provides for them. And not just any clothes. She makes sure that they were clothed in scarlet. They were clothed well. Again, without the wife home, I probably just let the kids run out. And when she would go, that doesn't match, you need to go change. Make sure they look good. You know, make sure that they are presentable as they leave the house, as they go to someone else's house, as they go to school. You know, the mother's there to take care. She's there providing and helping and being virtuous and leading. In Proverbs 31 and verse 27, Proverbs 31 verse 27 says, she watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. She's not idle. She doesn't just, you know, she is watching over. She knows what's going on in the house. She knows what her children are up to. She knows, you know, the feelings and situations. That, you know, sometimes again, we get caught up in, well, how do they know that? It's because we pay attention. Mothers are there paying attention. They know they have a close relationship. And so it's just that mothers love. And we see it and read these things and think, my mother loves me because look at all the things that she continues to do for us, that she has done for me. This is the things that we can look at and say, if I'm going to be a mother, these are things we need to be applying to our lives. See the Word of God and see what it talks about the virtuous woman. See what they do. See how a godly woman acts and continues in. In Proverbs 29, Proverbs 29, and in verse 15. Now, you might hear a little scratchiness in my throat, but I have kids' baseball practice and Eleanor soccer games and boys' baseball games. So I don't let my voice actually rest. So, though it should be better by this Sunday, it's not 100% still. Proverbs 29 and verse 15. Here it says, the rod and rebuke give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame to his mother. As much as children might in the time and moment get so angry and so mad, get upset when their mothers rebuke them or their parents rebuke them and discipline them because they ain't getting what they want, because they thought they might get away, they're upset. And so at that time and moment, you might be thinking, man, this is the worst thing in the world. But when they get older and they realize my mother loved me because she was willing to rebuke me, because she was willing to put me in time out, to give me a spanking, to go forth and show me the right path. And tell me what the wrong path is. Show us how we should react when we get angry and how we shouldn't react when we get angry. Show us how we should love our brothers and sisters, how we should treat one another, how we should be humble and kind and not be selfish. You know, as we go through life and the kids have these different reactions because they don't know how to handle themselves yet. And we teach them. Willing to rebuke them out of love. Because as we look at Titus chapter 2, Titus chapter 2, turn along with me there. Titus 2, and looking at verses 3 and forward. As it reads here, it says, who desires all men to be saved, comes... Oh, on to Titus. There we go. Titus chapter 2 and verse 3 says, the older women likewise, that they be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. So as we look at that there, and to the point that older women teaching younger women, and who more than your actual mother? Yes, women here that are members of this congregation should look around and see younger women and be willing to go and teach them and approach them and help them and assist them, but much more when it's your actual mother. Understand that as you have your children at home, you should definitely be teaching them. That it shouldn't just be relying on Bible class and relying on things here at the church building, but at home, teaching our children. Going back to Proverbs 31, going back to that virtuous woman that we've been reading about here, talks about what comes out of her mouth in verse 26. Verse 26, it says, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness. Here it says, out of her mouth comes wisdom. The law of the Lord, the law of kindness. She is teaching, and she teaches her children in Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and in verse 6. Always take an opportunity to teach our children. As it reads here in verse 6 of Deuteronomy 6, it says, and these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall take them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them on a sign on your hand, and they shall be as a frontlet between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorsteps of your house and on your gates. Again, mothers love to teach their children, not just teaching them how to live life and helping them with schoolwork, but teaching them about God, raising them to be Christians, ready to give them over to God. Taking Hannah as an example, as we've been studying Samuel, and go back to the beginning of 1 Samuel and see that she prayed for a child, that yes, she did her part as a mother, and she kept him until she weaned him. And at that time and point, she was ready to give him over to the Lord. That we have to be ready to give our children to God. That we want to teach them, and that they need to learn to respect God, to love God, to be thankful for all that He has given. That when we do rebuke them, that we teach them that it's not just that I'm rebuking you because I want you to obey me, but as you get older, I want you to understand that you have to obey God. Learning to submit to your parents so that they learn how to submit to God as they get older. Teaching them how to obey the rules so that they obey God's rules. And so we teach them as they are children, teaching them and showing them and guiding them and setting an example for them. Setting an example, shining that light for them. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 13. Matthew chapter 5 and in verse 13. As you read along here, as it says, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but a lampstand. And it is given, gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. We set that example again. This is where I put out Proverbs 31 altogether as you start the part where it talks about the virtuous wife, the virtuous woman. And look at all the things that she does. How she is a good husband. How she is known, and the husband is known at the gates because of the virtuous woman. How she acts and raises and does good to the servants, does good to the household. She continuously does good things. She sets that example. So often you might hear people say, I don't know how my child got to here. Often or not, we can take a step back and say, well, if you look at how we acted, what example we set, what we watched with them on TV, what we listened to with them on the radio, what we allowed them to wear, what we continue to let them do, who we let them hang out with, who we hang out with, what we do. They see everything we do. Yes, they have the influence of the world on them. They have the influence when they're at school. They have influence when they're at work, when they go to games. They have the influence of the world, which is hard enough. But if the parents aren't setting a good example, then how much more difficult is it? The parents themselves are not setting that example to shine the Lord's light to them, to show them the importance of worshiping, of praying, of studying, of coming together with brothers and sisters in Christ. That mothers love, mother to their children. I want to take the next point and time aside to say children to their mothers. That relationship of the children to their mothers, the love that we should have. And I want to start off on one side note, pointing out that we can be at that point of not a happy thing. Though children are supposed to be a glorious and happy thought, as we go back, what we read in Proverbs 29 and verse 15, when it talks about disciplining our children, a child that is not disciplined, a child that goes forth and continues in wrong, brings shame to his mother. And we see that again here in Proverbs 19 and verse 26. Proverbs 19 and in verse 26, it says, "He who mistreats his father and chases away his mother is a son who causes shame and brings reproach." Understand, as much as our mothers love us, and if we are just unruly and we live a terrible life, their love is still there for you, they still care for you, they still heartache for you, but you are bringing shame upon them. You're hurting them. We often don't take that step back and thinking how much our actions and what we do makes our parents, make our mothers feel when we go down the wrong path. Understand, we need to go forth and look in Proverbs 31 as we have a virtuous mother, a virtuous woman in our house. It brings out here in Proverbs 31 and verse 28, it says, "Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her." And if your mother has done the things that we read about in the last point, and you can sit there and say, "My mother loves me, she has provided for me, she was there for me, she's cried with me, she was there when I was sick, she helps me." Praise her. Bless her. Thank her. Again, this is why we can sit and say, I understand why man made a Mother's Day. Because of all that she has done for us, we should thank her. Because she is a blessing given to us by God. She has given us life by the blessing of God. In Ephesians chapter 6, in Ephesians chapter 6 and verses 1 through 3. Ephesians 6, 1 through 3 says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on earth." Obey them. Honor them. Show them the respect they deserve. Says, obey them, for in the Lord, this is right. It's just simply one of those things that should be common conscience, common points. And it says, obey your parents. Why? Because it's just simply right. It's not just because God said, it's just simply one of those things that it should be known to honor your mother, to love her and give her thanks. And as we set plans for our future and we set, you know, what we want to do, where we want to be, when we're going to retire, and thinking about all these things, consider your mother. Say, I want to make sure that I'm able to take care of her if she gets into bad health. I want to make sure that I can help her and pay her back for what she has done for me. As you read here in 1 Timothy 4, and it talks about the widow. In 1 Timothy 5 and verse 4, it says, "But if any widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show pity at home, to repay their parents. For this is good and acceptable before God." It says, before we get into the widows, let us see this, that if you have someone in your life that is old and needs help and assistance, take care of your mother, your grandmother. We set those plans. Do we think ahead into that point of, I need to make sure that I'm stable enough, not just here, but to take care of my mother in case that comes up. And take care of my father in case that comes to the point. And in verse 8 says, but if anyone does not provide for his own and especially for those of his household, he is denied the faith and worse than an unbeliever. You know, I often use that verse when we talk about fathers providing for their children, putting food on the table, take care. But as you read the context of the scripture, it's talking about the widow. It's talking about stepping up and taking care of your parents. Providing for those who have already provided for you. Making sure that we're ready to pay them back. Again, as we sit there and say that, the same thing as we say, all right, I'm going to do this for God. I'm going to give this back to God. I'm paying Him, you know. We can't ever give enough back to God in consideration of how much He's given to us. When we sit back and think about what our parents have done for us, what our mothers have done for us, have we ever paid them back enough? Make sure we're ready to provide for our parents. In verse 16, again, it says, if any believing man or woman has widows, let them relieve them. And do not let the church be burdened, that they may relieve those who are really widows. Those who are widows without children, faithful children, children that are going to step up and take care of them. You have that responsibility. Again, that love and respect that children should have for their parents. Ready to assist, ready to help, ready to show them love to them. Again, it's not a scriptural holiday to the point that God has commanded us to keep it that way. But it is certainly a good day and a good time to always remember. Again, as we have holidays, usually we say that. We should always remember. We should always be thankful for what they do. Mothers should always be doing what they can for their children as their children are at home. And then I know that love doesn't go away as they leave their home. Let us make sure we're being scriptural as mothers, being scriptural as children, and doing all things in the name of the Lord. I don't want to leave without extending the Lord's invitation this morning. If you're here and you need to obey the Word of God, I know I did not talk about salvation a whole lot today. But I can tell you now, again, that a mother's love wants the best for their children. And the best thing for anyone is to make sure that their sins are forgiven and that they have a home in heaven. So that a mother does not have to worry about a child going to a place of torment. Again, the best gift one could give is to take that ease off their mind, off their shoulders. But you make sure you do it because it's what you believe. That you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And that you want to repent of your sins. You want to turn away from these things. You want to follow in the footsteps of Christ. And in essence, hopefully, that means to follow in the footsteps of your mother because she's following in the footsteps of Christ. If you're here and need to be baptized, please let it be known. Let us assist you. If you need a prayer's congregation, if there's anything we do for you, let it be known as we stand and sing.